Hi, everyone, and welcome back to season 4 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the Nikki Green, and we are mixing things up this season. With my new book, Chameleon Mindset, launching, I want to share more of the book's concepts with all of you. I have also been blessed to expand my network throughout the podcast community and to other inspirational speakers. I want to bring more guests on to discuss these important topics together. So we're going to mix it up, no more interview format, and we're going to have some fun. So next up, we're going to do a few fun episodes. Hope you enjoy them. And don't forget to give us a like, a follow on your favorite podcast platform. Welcome to season 4 of Stand Up and Stand Out. Bienvenidos a Parte y Destécate, temporada 4. Hi, everyone. This is Nikki Green, your hostess with the mostest, and we are ready to bring you a brand new season of our wonderful podcast. This season, we're going to start a dialogue about important topics. And switching up from the format a bit, I'm going to be bringing on a number of guests to help facilitate those discussions. I started off last season pretty sad. It was a rough beginning of the year, very thoughtful, doing a lot of time writing and spending time locked up alone during the winter. Now it's been summer. I've been out on the road, meeting friends, making new ones, and just really starting to see what's going on around us. I'm excited to preview material from my new book, Chameleon Mindset, and we're going to share some other fun projects that we're launching in 2023. But there is a lot going on in the world right now, and I know many people are still struggling to process it. Anxiety is on high, and normal seems to be a distant memory. But that's okay, because we are going to teach you how to cope with our ever-changing environment. Change is the Uber in your driveway. There's no avoiding it. Instead, let's prepare and know our destination. You don't want to be stuck running alongside, trying to catch up. And I know that's how many of us feel right now. In episode 33, I will cover some big topics, especially as we get closer to voting day here in the US. I'm feeling quite passionate about the things that are going on in our country and around the world. And I want to make sure I'm talking more specifically about the way I feel and my experiences to hopefully give you some links to better educate yourself before you head out to the polls in your area. I started last season talking about mental health, and that seems like a good place to pick back up. I am happy to report that Congresswoman Lauren Underwood's Elementary and Secondary School Counseling Act has passed the House as part of the Mental Health Matters Act, a package of bills that provide solutions to America's growing mental health crisis. Underwood's Elementary and Secondary School Counseling Act would establish a grant program to help schools recruit and retain school-based mental health professionals, addressing a severe shortage and meeting students' mental health needs. I'll put a link to the press release so you guys can read more. I'm really proud that Congresswoman Lauren Underwood is a part of our government here in Illinois, and I've been excited to see the different activities that she's been doing to support families, children, healthcare, and women's rights. We'll see how things turn out in the polls, but at least I think she's started some things in the right direction. For me, lately, I've heard too many unsettling stories about youth suicide. It's quickly becoming an epidemic in this country for younger and younger citizens. We aren't doing enough to help them because, I mean, honestly, most of us are also still struggling. So we think, oh, they're kids and, you know, they don't feel it as much, or they'll just roll it off and not really understand what's happening. But that's exactly it. They don't understand, and we're not talking to them. I've recently met many people dedicated to this cause, and I'm proud to have them as guests later on in the season to share their stories and their mission. This leads me into one of the next big debates for our upcoming election. One of the biggest changes that's happened to our healthcare lately is around women's rights. Most of you are aware of the changes at the federal level to the Roe versus Wade decision, and now there's lots of implications at the state level to this as well. I'm not going to get into the debate on that specifically. What I want to do is share some of my personal stories about the importance of rights for women on their reproductive health, and why I'm so passionate about this particular issue. I think we're on a very dangerous path right now with the legislation and getting involved too deeply in anyone's healthcare, to be honest, but especially with women's. We fought very hard to get the rights that we have to be able to vote and to be able to take care of our bodies and ourselves. And slowly those things are eroding. I have experienced this firsthand on many occasions, and I want to share my stories to educate you on what's really happening behind the scenes. Many times during my youth and growing up through sort of 20s and 30s, my health insurance has interfered in my healthcare. I've changed jobs, I've changed states, I've changed doctors, and I've had the same thing reoccurring regardless of which type of insurance, what level I'm paying, none of it matters. Insurance at the end of the day right now can override people's mental and physical well-being. When I was about 27, I started having very serious abdominal pain and I wasn't sure what it was. I was hospitalized overnight. I had to cancel work. I canceled business trips. At first, they thought maybe it was appendix, and it turned out to be a small fibroid. At that stage, it was about the size of a gumball. But the doctor said, well, we could operate. It's not really necessary. Hopefully, it'll just go away with age, which talking to many women has yet to ever happen, I'm sure. But again, male doctor, emergency room, wasn't really high on his priority list. So, you know, going back to my primary care physicians and having repeated issues with this over the years, over and over again, they said, well, maybe we could do surgery, but it probably won't be approved. And even if we submit it, they're probably going to decline. The next hospitalization, I was approximately 34, so about 7 years later. Again, emergency room, severe pain. I had to drop out of a race that I was at Disney World, drive the 3 hours back to Miami. Again, to find out it was issues with the fibroid causing incredible pain in my abdomen. And now the ultrasound revealed it was more the size of a golf ball. At this stage, now because of the amount of pain, they're saying, yes, you probably should have surgery. It'll be minimally invasive. You should be back to work quite shortly and recovery will be easy. Insurance declined. So over and over again, I went through this cycle of, you know, attempting to do health home care. There really wasn't a lot of solutions, unfortunately. There was no doctors that were offering me any other advice other than, well, stop being a woman. Great, thank you. Okay, that's not really in the repertoire. So it's been incredibly challenging to have to deal with that. Finally, at the age of 37, nearly a decade later, it was critical for my health to remove the fibroid. At this stage, the fibroid was now the size of a grapefruit, and there wasn't just one, there was two. And so what started out as hopefully being a minimally invasive surgery ended up being an extremely invasive 5-hour surgery that left me unable to get myself out of bed, walk without a cane, and it really changed my life. Insurance, 2 weeks before that surgery, again, declined that it was medically necessary. Because, and again, the statement from the insurance is, well, it's too much of a risk to your reproductive health. There's a risk that you would have to have a hysterectomy or that there would be a problem with your uterus. But that's my decision, not the insurance. And that wasn't what the surgery was about. And so over and over again, I fought the insurance. And luckily this time, I had an amazing doctor there in Reno who fought the insurance with me. Because I had moved so many times, I had to go back across 3 states to try to collect various records from hospitalizations, from regular care, to be able to prove to the insurance company that this was necessary. It was exhausting. And it was down to the wire literally days before my planned surgery when we finally got the approval that it was going to be able to move forward. I tell you this as a warning because this has happened to too many other people, not just in this case, but insurance has their hands into too much of our medical files. And I don't think it's right. And the other side of women's reproductive health and health issues, mammograms are my other big hot button. Around these same times, I also found lumps in my breast and had to go in for mammograms at a very early age. The problem with that, as many women know, is our breast tissue is still too dense, and usually the mammogram just literally cannot read properly if there are issues or not. And so what continued to happen was I had to go get a follow-up ultrasound. Very scary because, you know, people are telling you they can't read a scan, which is supposed to be the thing to help tell you whether or not you have cancer. I've gone through many seminars. I've talked to lots of different doctors, ultrasound technicians, as well as mammogram technicians, and most of them agree mammograms really aren't the best way and aren't the first line of defense. but this is what insurance approves. So this is always where we have to start. And I'm sorry, but if any man ever had to walk in, have someone manhandle his junk and squish it like a nut, they really would not do this. The fact that women have to endure these types of procedures, it's really inhumane. And especially considering it doesn't actually fix the problem or address the issue, it's just not the right way for us to help the largest percentage of our population. I want to just caveat this, but please don't mistake me telling you these stories, telling you not to get a mammogram. I'm actually following my insurance plan orders, not my doctor's, and getting myself squished tomorrow, which I know will result in the exact same follow-up call, saying my breast tissue is too dense, we cannot read the mammogram, and I have to come back in for an ultrasound. 7 years running, every 6 months, I repeat this cycle. So men, I'm sorry, but you don't have a right to tell me how to care for myself. You do not have the same health concerns, and you certainly do not have the same experience. If you guys had to deal with many of these issues, you would think of them significantly differently. Aside from that, my history of being born to a single mom who had to give up her future to raise me, whose family separated themselves from us and left my mom to fend for herself in her time of need. If we aren't going to fix these fundamental issues with our society, having to raise kids in a single family household, we shouldn't judge the difficult decisions these women have to make about their healthcare and their livelihood. Whew, that was a lot to get out. I'm going to take a little bit of a commercial break here. We're going to talk about a little bit different topic and switch gears as we come back. But hopefully, you know, these stories show you a little bit more as to why these issues are so important to me. Hi, everyone. Nikki Green here, and I am here to tell you that Chameleon Mindset is on its way. If you'd like to learn more about the Chameleon Mindset book, the online course that'll help keep you motivated and doing some of the fun Karate Kid exercises, go to chameleonmindsetbook.com and you'll find more information about pre-sales, bonuses, and so much more. All right, and we're back. So many powerful things happening this election. I think it's incredibly important for us to educate ourselves, to listen to both sides of the arguments, and to vote our conscience, not just our party lines. More and more, I believe so many of our politicians are just disappointing us and not really providing for the people that they are there to serve. I've been on the road a lot lately, and so I was interested to see how the elections and the top issues were being addressed by the incumbents and those currently in power. I was in Texas recently, and I was driving from Dallas to Austin, and so I thought I would listen to a couple of other podcasts along the way. I saw a lot of passionate political campaign signs on the side of the road, and I thought, let's go ahead and educate ourselves on what's going on in Texas. So I went to my favorite Texan, Brené Brown, and her Dare to Lead podcast, and she was actually interviewing the Texas gubernatorial candidate, Beto O'Rourke. We'll put a link in the show notes to a little bit of information about that show and Beto if you guys would like to follow up to do your own research. Plus or minus however you feel about Texas or Beto or whatever you think is going on, I just thought he had a really good discussion on some important points, not just for Texas, but for other places around the country. We aren't just one thing or another. In many of his examples, supporting the Second Amendment doesn't mean we can't also improve the restrictions on who can have a gun or the types of guns they possess. This is, again, a slippery slope, just like the insurance, right? Is how much government and intervention from other parties do we need in our freedoms? But none of us are one thing. And the one thing that he was very clear on, and he is trying to advocate a lot lately, as am I, is we need to stop polarizing the issues and work to really listen to each other and make us all safe without removing the important freedoms that are a part of being in this country. We are not one thing. We are multifaceted. We've had lots of different experiences. And those experiences shape us and can help us educate the community around us as to why these issues are important. Funny enough, while I was at another airport, I was actually in Reno having breakfast. I looked over and I saw a woman and she was wearing a Beto hat. So I thought, wow, this must be fate. And I knew it was a sign. I should probably have a chat with her and learn a little bit more. She was a passionate Texan who loves her state and her country. She just wants the best for her children and the future generations. She was definitely one of those folks on the campaign trail helping Beto. And I know many others across Nevada that I ran into, despite it not being their state, were equally passionate to see him succeed. It'll be interesting to see how that and many of the other races turn out in the next couple of weeks. And I wish all the candidates the best of luck. And I hope we continue to work towards bridging the divide between us rather than pulling our country apart. In other news, while I was traveling, I had a lot of time to do reading, a little bit actual reading and some reading by Audible. I don't know if that counts as reading, but anyways, one of the great books I recently picked up is Think Again by the organizational psychologist Adam Grant. Love his stuff. You know, you can even just catch him on some of social media to catch the little blips, but really, really good stuff. And I think you guys should pick this one up. I'll just leave you with a little bit of that as we end the episode here. But if you go check it out on Amazon, we'll put a link in the show notes. The beginning of this intro for the book on Amazon says this is the right book for right now. Yes, learning requires focus. But unlearning and relearning requires much more. It requires choosing courage over comfort. This message resonated with me, as I feel like it resonates with many people, as it's already a bestseller. Adam Grant is definitely a thought leader in this area, and the messages resonated with a lot of what's going to be in my new book, Chameleon Mindset. One of the concepts he talked about kind of relates to what we were just saying with politics, is that some people, when they're defending, they end up in a preacher versus prosecutor type of role, that either they're lecturing you on what's right and what's wrong, or they're just vehemently arguing the point to argue. But both sides are not actually listening. And he offers some good solutions into how we can begin bridging some of these difficult conversations to educate each other and start to relearn and unlearn our bad habits. It's important that we start to have a dialogue, but we have to be willing to listen, and we have to be willing to change our ideas when there is better information provided. Some of us are holding on so fiercely to old ideas of the past, and they're not serving us in the present, and they are certainly hurting those of us as we move into the future. There is a critical area of compromise and discussion that is going to be necessary for all of us to move forward. I want to keep that discussion going as we continue into this season. Whew, I know we already covered a lot of tough topics in this episode to kick things off, but I thought I wanted to set the tone before we bring other people on. I'm sure lots of you have all kinds of thoughts on this and so much more of this and other episodes, so feel free to send us some love mail and we'll get back to you. Share this episode if you enjoyed the thoughts. Please follow us on social to learn more about what's going on with Chameleon Mindset. And we look forward to sharing more episodes of Stand Up and Stand Out soon. Bye.